WSDQ Dunlap, WEPG South Pittsburgh,
The Copperhead,
WSDT Soddy Daisy, Chattanooga.
The viewpoints expressed on Liberty Works Radio Network are not necessarily those of the network, its affiliates, or sponsors. This is Liberty Works Radio Network. Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome to the Truth Attack Hour. I am Steve Hempling, Director of Free Enterprise Society. This program, we try to expose the truth about subjects that affect American liberty, your liberty. You know, for those that know me, know that income tax is one of my main issues as it destroys Americans' desire to be successful. My goal is to eliminate the income tax for everyone. The federal government can get along fine without the income tax if they were following the law. And when I talk about the law, I'm going to talk about the U.S. Constitution, the supreme law of the land. The federal government has 17 powers, mainly listed in the Constitution. Everything else is prohibited by the Constitution in, as far as coming into the states. If the law were followed, they would not even need 10% of their current budget, probably. Imagine that. Now, we have a big thing going on, COVID-19, the emergency, and the Constitution is being set aside, and people are being arrested for walking down the street. And I watch the news each and every day, and I think, what country am I watching? This is ridiculous what's happening, especially when you look at how serious the disease was, or lack of seriousness the disease has. Anyway, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Constitution. We're going to talk about constitutional violations and maybe some solutions for some of you if you're getting hurt by this, which is just about everybody. But we're going to talk about that and other things today. Today we're going to, I want you to also look at maybe truth-attack.com. You can learn a lot about the income tax and freeenterprisesociety.com. The income tax, we believe, has never been, you know, it's voluntary. The IRS's own website says it's voluntary all over the place. Now, a lot of people are postponing it from April 15th to the July 15th deadline, and that gives a lot of people time to think about things. But in the meantime, you're probably spending the money since you're sent home by that same government you're supposed to send that money to. You're sent home and expected not to work for 2 months, 3 months, and who knows how long. California can't figure out when they're going to open again. They're starting to open up some things, and some there got lots of lawsuits against them. But for a lot of people, they're spending their savings that they, you know, that was for income taxes. What are they going to do on July 15th? Well, you can find out some information about that, because we don't think it's voluntary. We think it is voluntary. Therefore, maybe we should rethink whether we're going to volunteer on the income tax. But we're going to talk about that and other things today, probably. But I have a good guest today, Jay. He's a very knowledgeable person. He knows a lot about the law and cases and things. And he likes to come on this program, and then we talk about things like that, and the listeners can call in, and we can continue to talk about things. You know, this is kind of an interesting thing. I mean, we went from a fairly free country, and almost overnight we turned into a police state, where sheriff deputies are marching people off the beaches here in California, and in Los Angeles, if you're walking around without a mask, well, that's bad. But, you know, if you've committed certain violent crimes and you're in jail, they let you out. I mean, there's some insanity here, and it's on the part of the elected officials. I mean, the average person, and I've talked to a lot of people here in California, including law enforcement, deputies, police, sheriff's department, and all of them really are, they're scratching their head about what's going on, and many sheriff's department will not enforce these kind of things. But anyway, Jay, it's a pleasure to have you join me.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
One of the things you mentioned it last week, what California is doing on the tracing and what Governor Newsom wants to do is kind of frightening. But there's also a House bill. I hope it doesn't go anywhere. A House H.R. 6666. What a nice number. But they also want to do a tracking. They want to do tracking. I don't know about dragging people out of their houses. I don't really see that. But they're talking about like $100 billion budget for this army of tracers. And I just can't already believe it. How are they going to trace people unless they, you know, invade your privacy? So Bill Gates has this little app, I guess, you can put on your phone. They'll track you everywhere you go, everything you do. You could volunteer for it. How great. But it's only for your protection, of course. I mean, And it's just laughable to me, but I suppose a lot of Americans will sign up for this. You got any thoughts on that?
I think you struck a chord with the statement that they'll sign up for it. If we look at what I call the Unaffordable Health Care Act, it's already going in the red. It wasn't designed to be a legitimate financial balance. It was basically designed to placate emotions rather than do the job that should have been done by just reorganizing Medicare. That said, the legislation turns on voluntary engagement. And even if you go to something like, say, Medishare requires, you're all sitting down, that you give them your Social Security number. It's not a Christian sharing website. It's a co-op. It's an incorporated co-op that has a certain level of Christian tenets to how it operates. Otherwise, it's a business, and they want to track you. So I hope people are listening. If you're going to sign up for it, you're doing it voluntarily. And that's what it gets down to, Steve. You said it. People are going to sign up for it. And the government doesn't do anything, doesn't give you anything without wanting something in return. That's the way it works. So.
Well, I just find it shocking. And the bill 6666 authorizes the Center for Disease Control and Prevention to award grants for testing, contract tracing, monitoring, and other activities, which are not really explained in here, to address the COVID-19. And entities such as federally qualified health centers, nonprofit organizations, certain hospitals, and schools are eligible to receive these grants and awards and awarding for the grants. So they're expecting schools to track you and hospitals to track you. The CDC shall prioritize the applicants that operate in hot spots and medically underserved communities and to agree to hire individuals from the communities where the grants are active. Wow. That doesn't... I mean, what is the point? You know, they're...
Well, the point is control. And I've been doing some research about this. And again, I hope your listeners are sitting down because... I'm looking at how the federal government is trying to evade or get around the court rulings concerning Richard Mack, who you had on your show, and how they have to go through the Sheriff's Department for law enforcement. And the way the federal government is doing it is they're looking for federal agencies that are exempt from restrictions. One of them is the Coast Guard. And the Coast Guard is the enforcement arm for TSA. And I'm looking at some of these things now, and I'm seeing that that's what they're going to be doing. They're trying to turn the Coast Guard into an inland marine enforcement agency. And originally, the Coast Guard was really part of the Treasury Department, and it made sense, you know, that it wouldn't be restricted on the Posse Comitatus Act, the way the regular military is. Well, now what you have is the socialists, the Marxist socialists in the Democrat, you know, camp that are using that as a vector to enforce and be abusive to people because the people voluntarily sign up for it. You know, that's a sad situation. That is the direction they're going. So they get the CDC, federal agency, they're going to use the Coast Guard as a way of enforcing it.
Well, you know, from day one, they should have encouraged people to use their own common sense instead of making orders, because that gets ire up of people such as I and me and you. But, you know, those who would give up, this is a quote from the past, of course, from Franklin. It says, those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. And the Americans were trusting in their government on the 14-day thing. Okay, 14 days. I didn't really hear too many complaints, even from people that should be concerned about this. But, you know, then it went another 30 days, and now people are saying, well, they're going too far. Well, gosh, I thought they went too far on day one. I mean, if it was unconstitutional today, Jay, would it have been unconstitutional on the first day?
Well, there is a there is a conflict that, well, that's probably not the best way to put it. There's a debate. There's a debate that is bantered in government class, in academic circles, government classes and civics and what have you, specifically about the preamble, specifically the section that addresses the public health, safety, and welfare, that welfare word. And so they like to push it as far as they can.
Well, it's for the public welfare.
Yes, and at what expense? And that's where your question comes in. It's germane. It's to the point where it's like they're throwing the baby out with the bathwater, to use the old phrase.
Well, these rights are unalienable, right from the Declaration of Independence. You mentioned that word last week. I got a definition here for people listening. I would think most people on this channel are pretty apprised of these things. But what bothers me is that, so many Americans aren't, they don't seem to even watch what's going on. But anyway, this is the definition of unalienable, one of many, but they're all about the same. Non-transferable to another, or not capable of being taken away or denied. I mean, the end. When they wrote the Constitution in 1791, they didn't say, well, this doesn't count if we're all going to get sick or something else. I mean, you mentioned a good point, for the safety of the people. If a bridge falls down, I would expect, police to block the road or do something, or somebody to block the road and not let you drive off into the abyss. That's my safety. But this, and there are laws on, cases on quarantines. I think you mentioned that before. But in this case, they're quarantining non-sick people. That's never been done before. They're quarantined the whole country. And most of it is still quarantined. I just, I see no authority for this whatsoever by the governors or the mayors here. The mayor in Fresno, at least, he's withdrawn. He had a deadline on it, which whatever day it was, Monday or Tuesday, his lockdown order ended, and he's not trying to do anything about that. He just said, well, now it's up to the governor. It should have been, he should have never done anything like that in Fresno. But anyway, and the governor, there's no hope for him, I don't think. Hopefully they tried recalling once before. I would think these mayors, like Mayor of Fresno, Mayor of Los Angeles, Governor of California, and maybe the governor of a lot of these other states that have done these draconian lockdowns, should be recalled.
Well, two things. First of all, I mean this in the most respectful way, the phrase I used was unalienable, not inalienable, unalienable, and that's a peeve of mine because that is the word that's used, and you're right, it has some very specific definitions that fall to the attachment, the restriction on attachment of rights that are otherwise maintained within the Constitution, or by the Constitution, I should say, and hopefully with the enforcement of the sheriffs. So that's just one thing that I think is really important, because I think language also shapes, or our understanding of language also shapes how the human mind, how just human beings process information. And there's a saying in computer science, it's GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. So if you get it correct the first time, then you're probably going to get the right stuff the second time. All right, so that said, that's fine. Now, as far as the recall, if I remember correctly, California had a recall with Gray Davis.
Yes.
They dumped him in favor of Mr. Schwarzenegger. And
that was a good swap.
Well, as best as Arnold could do, I think he did. He was a business major. He's a bachelor's in business administration. And he is a business kind of guy. He and his brother had a construction company, and they were, working pretty hard even when he was trying to finish, I think it was Mr. Universe, the seventh time. They've been done six times, and I think he wanted to do it seven, and that was to set the record. But, he's
okay,
just
hard-working. Jay, I hear the music there. We're going to have to cut you off.
Sure.
You're listening to the Truth Attack Hour, or we got a break here? on Liberty Works Radio Network. We're talking with Jay.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Well, buddy, that's a good question.
Is this worm a boy or a girl?
Why are carrots orange?
Actually...
Dad, why don't you have any hair on your head?
How do birds fly?
Why is dirt brown?
Why can't I fly?
Are we there yet?
You may not have all the answers, but if they're comfortable coming to you now when the questions are small, they'll come to you with the bigger questions later.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Give your family everything. Give them your time.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
This is Randall Yearout on Subversion. Just based on current facts before us, our nation's political leaders in elected office and both major parties have embraced policies and legislation subversive to our American form of law and government. Therefore, I think it profitable to visit the wisdom of our founding fathers regarding this kind of behavior. Samuel Adams, regarding spreading the wealth around and centralized control of the economy, said these ideas are, quote, as visionary and impractical as those which vest all property in the crown. They are arbitrary, despotic, and in our form of government, unconstitutional, unquote. These charges could be aimed directly at our president and Congress today. Thomas Jefferson wrote of a central government so strong that it borders on monarchy. These men have no right to office. If a monarchist be in office anywhere and it be known to the president, the oath he has taken to support the Constitution imperiously requires the instantaneous dismission of such officer, and I hold the president criminal if he permitted such to remain. To appoint a monarchist to conduct the affairs of a republic is like appointing an atheist to the priesthood. Unquote. The situation in America today is socialism for we the people and a political class who think they're monarchs rather than our agents. Congressmen openly insulting citizens exercising their First Amendment rights to redress. Congressmen taxing future generations without their consent. Presidents and judges approving of all this with their silence. These will be our defining years in the eyes of our children and grandchildren, but if we do nothing, we will come to nothing. We need Americans in great numbers to join us.
This constitutional message has been brought to you by the members of the Constitution Party. Visit us at www.constitutionparty.com.
Join the Cavalcade to Freedom. The Cavalcade back to constitutional government. Climb on board and do your part to proclaiming liberty throughout the land. Join and support Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. To view the strategic plan, to spread the word, and to get information on joining, go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com or call the Fellowship office at 410-857-5444. That's 410-857-5444. To join the Cavalcade to Freedom. America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
She knows a hollow from a double up. She does snapbacks, backsides, shoots the curl. Bethany Hamilton knows everything about surfing. She just didn't know about the shark. But just months after the attack, and with only one arm, the 13-year-old surfs again. And now she's ripping it better than ever. So next time life puts a little fear in you, just think of Bethany Hamilton hanging 10 on top of a heavy wave. That's real courage. Pass it on.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting. Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Truth Attack Hour. I am Steve Hempfling, Director of Free Enterprise Society. Truth Attack Hour is aired every day from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Liberty Works Radio Network. I do want to talk about the importance of this network. This network and networks like it, I think, will be the new mainstream media. More and more listeners are coming to it. The mainstream media, for the most part, is so skewed that anybody that kind of looks around or sees what's happening has got to know that. But, you know, CNN and some of those have ratings under 10%, I guess. But, you know, but if you like this program or others, this for this network, I mean, you, if you can, this is a listener-supported network. You need to help it out. If you can, you can leave a, go to LWRN.net and you can leave a one-time donation, or maybe you can set up a monthly donation automatic. You might have to work with the station a little bit there, but I think that can be done. Also, if you want to write this number down, it is a call-in number. It's 410-848-9191. That's 410-848-9191. You're welcome to call us for your questions and comments about this lockdown, what your thoughts are, what have you been threatened. I mean, this is really concerning me anyway, and I hope it concerns a lot of other Americans. But we're back with my guest, Jay. He is a very informed individual. We're talking about the COVID. We're talking about some of the court cases and some other things that are happening. But just on the face, AJ, welcome back. I mean, just on the face, if you don't look at the Constitution even, all the reasons they had for this lockdown have fallen apart, is what I see.
You're not alone. I think a lot of people see that.
I mean, why is California just hanging on? The California just today announced, Governor Newsom just today announced that barbers and the hair salons can start to open, which he said wasn't going to happen until August or something. And, you know, he got ruled against this morning or last night maybe or yesterday morning in court because there was 5,000 barbers and salon owners going after him. And I think they had a favorable ruling here yesterday, so that's why he did that. But he also said something very interesting. He said, this COVID-19 thing is not over. It is just beginning. And a chill went down my back. What is he talking about? His control of people, I guess what you talk about, he wants control. He's not going to let up. You know, so.
Well, you preface the question with sort of an enigmatic thought about why is this going on? And I think you answered it yourself just now. It's the Marxist socialist mind does not understand it a limitation. The Marxist socialist mind does not understand a limitation. It only understands society compliance. This is why we saw the rise of extreme conduct in the 30s, up through the Second World War even, in parts of Europe. I humbly invite your listeners to do some reading, serious reading of the history. Read The Gathering Storm by Winston Churchill, and it's just a 5-volume set. But, you know, read that and think long and hard about the conduct of the people that were on the other side. The Waffen-SS were authorized to execute people summarily, and they believed it was their job to do that. So your answer, the question that you asked, turns on that concept. And we have people today who roll their eyes and they don't think it's ever going to happen. And what do you think? You know, this is America. That's never going to. Well, it is happening. This is why the Bundys were acquitted 3 times. People are fed up with it. People are fed up with it. It is happening. Babies are burned in Waco and murdered in Ruby Ridge. People, right from the get-go, the FBI, when they went after Dillinger, they machine gunned two innocent people and never accounted for it. And so, you know, that's why it happens.
You know, well, I hope this momentum continues because the people can really take this back in a hurry, and with some recalls and voting, you know, it does make a difference who you vote for governor when you vote an airhead like Governor Newsom. I mean, he seems like a, you know, he's supposed to be a smart guy, but you listen to him. I mean, he can talk for half an hour and not say anything. I've watched him.
Well, that's like what Marxist socialists do. They ballyhoo and babble, and they don't make, they're irresponsible. They're narcissistic. That's what they do. And that's what he is.
So well, more than just taking money and getting paid for doing nothing, and now he's doing something, but he's hurting people. So you should be held accountable. To me, these are jailable offenses. And I want to bring up Sweden just real quick because I've been doing that every week. If you watch, I mean, I've seen on CNN and Amazon that Sweden is just dead bodies in the street. The whole country's going to die almost. I mean, they're really talking bad about Sweden. But I want to tell you, Sweden did not do the lockdown. I mean, they're not, I wouldn't, you know, they're kind of a socialist country, certainly, but they did not do a lockdown ever. The schools are open, the restaurants are open, the bars are open. They did encourage, you know, to be careful and stuff, maybe stay home more, and maybe 6 foot. They tried that too, but they didn't close anything. And their death rate per million there in Sweden is 405 right now, and the United States is over 300. I mean, it's not that much different. For all the stuff and destroying our economy and putting us into a depression here, at least momentarily, I hope it doesn't last long, but we didn't need to do this. I mean, it's more and more obvious to me. Belgium, right next door to Sweden, who did a terrible lockdown. I mean, they were brutal, more brutal than they have been here. They're over double what the United States and Sweden has been for deaths. It didn't do any good to violate, you know, people's, you know, rights and stuff. So, I mean, I hope that people stand up and don't forget this, because I really want to put this to bed. The people that hurt people should be held accountable, or they're going to continue to do it. So, even, I don't want people to kiss the governor's boots when he opens up and say, what a great guy. We've got to push and keep pushing, get him out of office and maybe get him charged with something. He's a lot, people have lost everything. Some people have. They've lost their business, they've lost their entire life savings, and it's all because of him, and, you know, at least here in California. And, you know, he should not get off scot-free.
Well, I'm not so sure it's all because of him. There has to be some sort of social mechanism that empowers that type of abusive behavior, and he wouldn't be promoting it if he was aware he couldn't get away with it. So that's the real question: is it's the same arrogant mindset that goes back to the California Supreme Court saying you got to have a California Constitutional Convention in order to entertain a referendum to split up the state. That just flies in the face of the republic or the concept of a republic. Yet there's people who are willing to act on that kind of a statement, kind of a decision.
Yeah.
So as long as people are willing to act to prop it up, then you're going to have, you know, those type of people with those type of personalities and intentions, you know, trying to get away with whatever they can get away with.
Well, I may be wrong, but I think Governor Newsom was the first U.S. state to do a lockdown, so-called lockdown, and he must have been looking at China, deciding, well, I like all that power. Communist China, if they can do it, we can do it. And then all the states followed California. Well, a lot of them did. A lot of them, there are several states never did do a lockdown, and they're doing just fine and better than the states that did, it looks like to me. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's a mindset, but they did take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And when they're not doing it, they should be held to pay something. And I don't, you know, without any punishment or any problem, I mean, they're just going to continue doing this. And it seems very difficult to get these people that are committing crimes similar to this in front of the justice system, because the justice system seems to be skewed, watching the FBI and all their shenanigans. If, you know, it seems to me if you can't put Hillary Clinton in jail, there's no hope. So she, I mean, she's as dirty as a clump of dirt.
And your point is sad and yet maybe valid. The issue of hope is very important. The Navy, the U.S. Navy SEALs have a little poem or a little rule. They call it the Rule of Threes. And it says, starts out by saying, well, you can live 3 years without water, and then you can live 3 days with you can live three minutes without air, 3 hours without shelter, 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food, and 3 months without hope. And the idea is to prioritize things that are important. What is important? You know, air, shelter, food, and a plan, having a plan, some kind of hope. So your point's valid about hope. If people are anesthetized to these things to the point that they don't maintain a level of hope, then they're just going to act blithely and volunteer. They're going to volunteer into a conscripted process. And it's sad, and the only way I know to do anything about it is by educating people. Still, that requires them to do something with that education.
Yeah, well, I got some things I want to talk about on that in the last segment here, but you remember there was two counties up here, Yuba and Sutter counties, and three counties, Modoc County. Their health officials apparently came out and basically opened their counties. They backed off. I mean, they opened their schools and everything, apparently, up there. And what the state was doing was threatening to revoke alcohol licenses from restaurants. And you mentioned licenses more than once. And I also saw the Illinois governor said, well, if you've got a state license, you know, you will do what I tell you to. And so he was kind of being honest there, I guess. But maybe we should start questioning, and I have for a long time, but maybe some of these businesses should start questioning, what is the purpose of the license? What is the terms of the so-called license? Because license is permission to do something that otherwise would be illegal. It's not the same as, you know, you just have a safety certificate. You know how to run a restaurant safely. A license is something they can revoke. And they're using that now to blackmail these businesses, it looks like to me.
I concur, but that's not new. They've done that a number of times. It is one of the classic ways that a Marxist socialist will try to use coercion to motivate people, and it's also the weakest form of management. The military's abandoned it. Used to be, back during the turn of the 1900s, they had corporal punishment. They'd, you know, flog people. And they got rid of that, I think, just after or during the First World War. And then, you know, up through the Vietnam War, they would use the concept, well, you know, if you get busted, you're going to go to jail, and on and on and on. And now, they don't even do that. They just wash people out. They know that if people aren't doing something they love to do, it's diminishing returns. The management cost is far greater. And so for any administration, a governor, anybody to use that kind of coercion is a tacit admission of failure on their part, that they are a failure as a manager. And that's what they need to be called out on, in my opinion. Anytime somebody uses that kind of a threat, well, you're just saying you're a failure as a manager. That's what you're telling us. You have to use coercion. You have to use abuse. That's not management. That's abuse.
Well, the Eagle Forum, I don't know if you're familiar with it, the Eagle Forum of California recently wrote a nice letter to the governor here. It's a prelude to a lawsuit. Sounds like they're going to be filing. And it goes through all the constitutional questions, but it also goes through the emergency powers. And this is what a lot of people don't understand. The one court here in California said, well, there's a declared emergency and the Constitution is set aside. But it doesn't really say that. Oh, I hear music there, Jay. We got to hold this a little bit. You're listening to the Truth Attack Hour on Liberty Works Radio Network. We're talking to Jay, a very knowledgeable individual, about COVID-19 and the Constitution. Stay tuned for more after this break.
America. America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan. Not everyone understands that.
You don't feel the same.
Join us at communityofveterans.org
and connect to others who are going through the same thing.
Because no one knows what it's like to come back unless they were there.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America.
I know what you're going through.
I've been there.
And now, for the Institute on the Constitution, here's Michael Anthony Perutka with The American View.
The capitulation of the leadership of the Republican Party in the showdown over what was sold as a government shutdown should not surprise anyone. What is surprising is that, in light of the track record of the Conservative Party, so many people would expect any other result. Isn't this the Conservative Party that always folds its cards when the liberals, the progressives, the socialists go all in? In fact, what has this party ever conserved other than the liberal victories of its supposed adversary? And is this anything new under the sun? It might be instructive to examine what Robert Louis Dabney wrote about conservatives way back in 1897.
This is a party which never conserves anything. Its history has been that it demurs to each aggression of the Progressive Party and aims to save its credit by a respectable amount of growling, but always acquiesces at the last. American conservatism is worthless because it is the conservatism of expediency only and not of sturdy principle. It intends to risk nothing serious for the sake of the truth.
Anyone, including those who identify with the Tea Party, who loves America and desires real reform, would do well to disengage themselves from the Republican Party and their brand of worthless, godless, unprincipled conservatism. Because with godless conservatism, failure is never a surprise. This is Michael Anthony Perutka for Institute on the Constitution, bringing you The American View.
This is Rob McQuay for the Institute on the Constitution, and you've just finished hearing Michael Anthony Perutka's commentary on The American View. The views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this radio station, and we welcome any comments and suggestions you may care to offer by emailing us at michael@theamericanview.com. If you'd like to learn more about the Institute on the Constitution's work, you can find out more about who we are and what we do at theamericanview.com.
Along with Samuel Adams, Patrick Henry was most instrumental in establishing the American dream. Henry made the following plea.
The battle, sir, is not for the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave. There is no retreat. But in submission and slavery, our chains are forged. Their clanking may be heard upon the plains of Boston. The war is inevitable. And let it come. I repeat, sir, let it come. Oh, gentlemen may cry, peace, peace. But there is none. The war has already begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north shall bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Is life so dear and peace so sweet to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Give me liberty or give me death.
Patrick Henry, one of the foremost framers of individual and religious freedom, a son of liberty and the American dream.
The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Are you concerned about the side effects of using hormonal birth control? Look into a natural method of family planning that's 99% effective, environmentally green, and causes no risks to your health. For information on learning natural family planning in English or Spanish through classes or home study, see the Couple to Couple League's website at ccli.org or call 800-745-8252.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my mom.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything. Boys, school, clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If it were a real heart-to-heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
I'd probably talk to him about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart-to-heart. I just want to talk.
Give your family everything. Give them your time.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting. Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Truth Attack Hour. I am Steve Empling, Director of Free Enterprise Society. Truth Attack Hour is aired every day from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Liberty Works Radio Network. You may want to write this number down. It is a call-in number. And more than write it down, you may want to write it down and then call the number and talk to us. It's 410-848-9191. That's 410-848-9191. You're welcome to call in with comments or questions for my guest or me. We're back with Jay. He's a very informed individual. We're talking about COVID. We're talking about the Constitution. And before break, we were talking a little bit about this letter from Eagle Forum of California. And I suppose you could probably get this off of their website, which is eagleforumofcalifornia.org, and read the whole thing. Might interest you. But on the cases that have been decided already, Jay, Wisconsin pretty much closed the door on from a constitutional standpoint. I really like that because it was basically closed. They said it was wrong from day one. And the governor and everything is very upset over there. But the people are very happy, and that's the way it should be, I guess, if you're going to have it one way. Oregon, on the other hand, just said the emergency can only go 30 days, and they set it aside because of that. The Supreme Court interceded now. And we have to wait and see what Oregon Supreme Court will say. But, you know, this letter to California goes through the constitutional issue. I did send this to you, and I don't know if anything stood out to you, but one thing that I noticed here, they're talking about some California sections, and one of them is section 8627.5. And it says, the temporary suspension of any statute, ordinance, regulation, or rule shall remain in effect until the order or regulation is rescinded by the governor. The governor proclaims the termination of the state emergency or for a period of 60 days, whichever occurs first. Now, first of all, it says temporary suspension of statute, ordinance, regulation, or rule. Now, it doesn't say a suspension of constitutional right. Why? Because they cannot, under any circumstances, I don't believe, suspend constitutional right. And then it goes on, but we're way past 60 days. I mean, we're beyond 70 days. And, you know, the court's going to have a hard time, you know, I think upholding this thing beyond the 60 days, which occurred several weeks ago. So, did anything stand out to you on the letter there, Jay, or did you get a chance to look at it?
Well, I want to say that justices, judges in general, they like numbers. They like hard numbers. There's nothing emotional about 60 days. 60 days is 60 days. Now, they try to play games with it and say, well, when did it start? Did it start when you put the order in? Did they start when you tried to enforce it? But generally, they love numbers because it's hard and fast, very clear. So that's a good thing. The manner in which it's processed may be the real turning point of all of it, because again, it's enforced. It's how it's enforced. If a group of people with the ability to do something to harm to people, whether it's kneeling on somebody's neck like the cops did when they murdered that gentleman, you know, I don't know if you knew about that or not. That's, you know, I mean, that's one of the things that is a type of enforcement. And it's still criminal, it's wrong, it's a violation of the Constitution, but they still do it. So, you know, we can all just wave our arms around and scream and yell on how improper it is. And as long as there are people out there who are willing to say, well, I get a paycheck and it's my job, and then you're going to have these kind of tensions that are created. Rather than having a reasonable approach to it. So,
well, you're right. I mean, nothing stops somebody from violating the Constitution. But see, my point is the government's become the outlaw here against law-abiding citizens. If we go on to the next section here on this letter, section 8567B, says, whenever the state of war or emergency or state of emergency has been terminated, the orders and regulations shall be of no further force and effect. This means that all orders that were created for the state of emergency are also expired, including but not limited to stay-at-home orders, social distancing, wearing of masks, closing businesses, etc. So, I mean, and the requirement to wear a mask, I mean, that's unlawful to be forced onto citizens with medical exceptions, and there are businesses that are refusing to make the accommodations, and sheriffs all over the country are refusing.
Well, let's talk about that a minute. Let's just talk about that a minute, because I think you're right. I think everybody knows it. They just don't know how to articulate it. So let's talk a little bit about that. If I have a uniform and a job that is ordained by the government, and I order you to do something, generally speaking, if you haven't volunteered already, that's called conscription. So literally what's happened here is that they're trying to conscript people into conduct, and then they're using coercive management to try to justify it. Coercion and conscription. Conscription and coercion. Both of those are very, very dangerous, very, very weak forms of management. They are, however, rather consistent and systemic to a Marxist socialist process. Get with the program, or you're just not one of us. And if you're not one of us, we're going to put you in handcuffs and make sure you're one of us. Now, that's exactly what happened. Yeah. That's exactly what happened in Germany. Initially, they had work camps. It was for the good of the country. They had work camps. They put indigent people to work. And everybody said, hey, this is great. I'm working. I'm, you know, getting soup and a cot and a tent. And it snowballed from there. So we have a situation here where, oh, hey, you know, you got to be stay safe. We're going to conscript you into wearing a mask. And if you don't, we're going to fine you for it. Or we're going to put you in cuffs for 36 hours, put you in the drunk tank or wherever they put you. That is indeed the verbiage that I think needs to be pointed out here. We need to use that verbiage. When we use that verbiage, people will listen. They won't, oh, the Constitution, that's an organic document. I don't know anything about it. But if you say conscription, if you say your child, your 16-year-old or 17-year-old is being conscripted and being coerced, people will listen, and people will give it some serious thought. So just the food for thinking there about how we approach it.
No, it is. I mean, people, you know, there's got to be a lot of people starting to stand up. I mean, they are rebelling all over the United States right now, and the state capitals in California even banned protests because they had too many of them. I mean, how ridiculous. But here's...
Well, part of it, yes. But part of the reason they're treated so dismissively is the way they communicate. They don't identify, they're indignant about it, and they have every right to be, because it's conscription. It's a type of illegal conscription. You talked about quarantine. It's one thing to say, this house has the measles, or this house has the bubonic plague, we are quarantining, and they put a yellow tag on it or something, say, so it warns healthy people to be careful about when they approach the building. That's a quarantine. What they're doing now is conscripting people into behavior. That's criminal. You know, unless it's a draft that's passed by the Congress and people are compensated for it. Even then, you can't have conscription. You know, I mean, the Bill of Rights. You can't have conscription unless a person's convicted and sentenced to hard labor. You can't have conscription without being compensated. So that's what this gets down to. And people aren't saying, okay, fine, how much are you going to pay me for this? What's my daily allowance? If people were to put that in front of the court and say, here's the numbers. Daily, this is what I earn. I'm being conscripted. I need to be paid that on a regular basis. My guess is the court would entertain that very seriously and say, no, you can't do this unless you pay these people.
Yeah, interesting. Well, I do want to mention before we run out of time, on the website at freeenterprisesociety.com, all one word, no spaces or underscores. You know, you can find out, of course, I already said you can find a lot of information about the income tax. We have a membership to help you even with income tax problems under certain conditions. But one of the new things up there now is a constructive notice we put together. And it is to be used to send to your governor, maybe your mayor, maybe your police chief, maybe your sheriff, but at least to the governor of the state if they did illegal and unconstitutional lockdowns. And it says that, hey, I know my rights. These are my rights. You can't take them away. It demands copies of any written documents from the Constitution or any sections of the Constitution that gives you jurisdiction over this person or whoever writes it. And they also say we're claiming all my constitutional rights and not volunteering for any. And then it goes through a warning. And what we do is look at Section 18, Title 18, Section 13, Section 241, 242. These are civil rights. These are civil cases that you can bring against people, which could include jail time. And here's what it says. If a citizen exercises the enjoyment of privilege secured by him by the Constitution, if two or more persons conspire to injure, oppress, threaten, or intimidate any citizen in the free exercise or enjoyment of any right, privilege, or secured by him in the Constitution of the United States, or because of having exercised the same, and I'm going to skip to the section, they can be fined not more than $10,000 and imprisoned not more than 10 years, or both if death. And 242 is similar. And then there's Title 83, which is civil rights. But here's a couple of court cases. I just want to mention real quick, this is a free package you can download. You can send these out. And I want millions of people to send this out all over the country. Hartle versus Fitzgerald is a 1982 case that said the Supreme Court of the United States says this: we therefore hold the government officials performing discretionary functions generally are shielded from liability for civil damages insofar as their conduct does not violate clearly established statutory or constitutional rights of which a reasonable person would have known. And it goes on to say a reasonable, competent public official should know the laws governing his conduct. And the California legislators don't, and most apparently a lot of other states don't either. And then it continued on, by defining the limits of qualified immunity, essential in objective terms, we provide no lights as to lawless conduct. And there's other cases on that also directing you right on to Section 241 and 242. And, we can start sending this out and let, they think people are stupid. I think they talk about us like we're probably a herd of sheep. And we got to start standing up, and you got to put your name on this thing. And some people will be afraid to do that, I know, but that is, to me, that's a sign that there is a problem. If you're afraid to put your name on something against the government, then we have a problem. Because this is a free country. You're the government. You're the boss. And I say, a real quick solution to this is that the real government stands up and takes their place and starts, keeping these servants in check. So anyway, that's my two cents there. I hope you go to Free Enterprise Society. Well, Jay, you have a lot of good information on this and how people can protect themselves. And I think it gives a lot of people encouragement because I'm an optimist. My deal is I don't want this to ever happen again. This is, the people doing this want to do it. They're already planning probably to doing something like this next year for some reason or another. So we've got to put a stop to that.
Well, I certainly agree. You have to maintain a certain level of lightheartedness about things, even in the face of adversity. And I think laughter is healthy. We need more of it. I just wish it was something that wasn't so cynical as having to deal with Marxist socialist abuse, conscription, murder. We have these four cops who were just fired for murdering that gentleman, kneeling on his neck. That was murder. That was flat out murder. And if they're not convicted and set, put away for a while, I for one, I'm going to tell you, I would be very inclined to be in the streets. Very upset about that.
It goes to a lot of elected officials, or not officials, but people like the police and stuff. I think their training is lacking some on people's rights. But in some cities, and Santa Clara was, I think, one of them where the officer comes in and had all kinds of problems because the officer was training him was taking money from brothels and stuff not to bother them, and he didn't like that. And when he reported it, he got in trouble, not anybody else, so he quit. I mean, they got to clean your own house, And that's what we have to do with the state of California and the U.S. law enforcement as well.
Well, messengers have long been the target of ire. How we deliver messages is important. I'll let you go. Talk to you next
week. We're out of time. Take care.
Is Liberty Works Radio Network enlightening you to the real problems we face in our constitutional republic? Has it helped you to better understand what has to be done to save America from becoming a third world nation? If so, do your part in spreading this voice of truth and enlightenment to your fellow Americans. Join the Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. Go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com for details.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
There's a battle going on, a war for your soul. It's a devil's deal. It's mind control. They want you to believe that you have no hope. They're counting on the fact that you are a dope. Well, they tell you the rules, tell you what to eat. They know that you won't question, they know that you don't read. We've lived a lie for way too long. It's time to know right from wrong. No matter what they told you all, courts and judges cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law. Congress makes the laws and the courts make none. That's in the Constitution, it's in Article 1. Look it up, read the words, use your own two eyes. Know it well, mark the spot, have it memorized. Tell your children, tell your mama, tell your family. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors if you wanna be free. You won't learn the truth in government schools. It's up to you to know the rules. No matter what they told you all, courts and judges cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law. Oh, Dred Scott was not law, you see. They ignored the court then, and so should we. Slaughterhouse and Mickey Mouse and Roe v. Wade. Opinions are not how law is made. That's not the way that our founders planned. Now wise up and rise up across the land. Spread the word so everybody knows this emperor has got no clothes. No matter what they told you all, courts and judges cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Pass it on. Brooke Ellison is a surprising person.
When I was 11 years old, I was hit by a car and no one expected me to live.
She surprised people by living.
I've been paralyzed from the neck down and on a ventilator since that time.
And she surprised them by going to college.
Tomorrow, I will graduate from Harvard.
Brooke Ellison, magna cum laude.
Determination. Pass it on.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in Broadcasting.